Hello, and welcome to the media ministry of Living Word Church in Roberts, Illinois. Today, Pastor Douglas Lee shares truth from the Word of God that will inspire and motivate you. We pray that as you listen to this message, your ears will be open to hear and your heart to receive all that God has for you. Join us now as we journey together through God's Word.
When we talk about a life of liberty, liberty comes with some responsibility and authority attached to it. God just didn't give us authority to live in this life because he rose from the dead. He gave us a responsibility and an authority that comes from having a liberty right up front. Jesus set us free so we could take on his responsibility for the kingdom. He didn't give us responsibility to live in the kingdom of God without giving us the authority to live a life that was marked with the blessing of God. He didn't set us up to fail. He set us up to succeed, and he gave us the freedom and liberty right up front. Many times we use the freedom and liberty too much to our own personal advantage, when in reality he gave it to us so that we would have an advantage for him and for his kingdom. If you will first seek the kingdom, or first give your life over to living for some purpose God has intertwined with you, then you're going to see liberty sustained. Whenever we lose sight of or let go of God's plan or his purpose in our life, liberty will be challenged. See, when we put the kingdom first, it means we're preoccupied with something God wants in our life or from our life. It doesn't mean in every waking moment that's what we're doing. It just means we can't get something out of our head that it seems like God is wanting from us. There are a few of you, I had them announce the missions meeting today on purpose because there's a stirring in my heart about that meeting. I woke up with it today, Brandy and Greg, a stirring and a knowing of some things. So when I step in, I want to talk to you about that first today. But we've been questioning the Lord, just what would you have us do, Lord? What is to come together? And whenever we have a season or a moment in our life like that, there's a stirring. There's a stirring this morning about that trip. I found myself praying about it for some specifics, and the Holy Spirit said, there's at least three more called to go. You've been listening, saying, well, what's going to happen on the trip, and then I'll decide. That's the wrong way to commit to the Lord. We commit to his purpose, and then we might find out what it is later. So today, if you don't know what God has in mind for you, if you commit to him, he'll let you know what he has in mind. It's interesting how God does things so different than man. As people, we want to hear what it is first and then decide to commit. God's the God of commit first and then I'll reward you. But he wants the commitment up front. So the kingdom of God is different. The kingdom of God makes us consider committing our life to the Lord and then finding out what he wants from us. If you're not willing to do that, you're not yet living a life of faith. The life of faith says, I trust him, I love him, I know that he is good, so I'm going to give myself to him and then find out what he wants from me. You wouldn't probably do that with your boss, or you wouldn't do that with too many people. But that's what Jesus requires. That's what lordship means. I give you my complete trust and my whole life. Now what do you want me to do? What do you have for me? That's faith. Anything less than that is not exactly faith, so it must be unbelief. So Scripture challenges us right up front to live ready for Jesus' return. I found myself in prayer through the week asking the Lord, what would be the right thing today to follow up last week? And he said, tell them responsibility and authority is what they have, and if they maintain that, they'll walk in the liberty and the freedom, and the enemy won't get in and rummage through their house. Now, I didn't know that was a scripture till he used the word rummage through the house, and I thought, now that's somewhere in the Word, and I went to look for it, and then I saw what he wanted to say. So the Holy Spirit moves by divine inspiration through people to say something, a seed form of what he wants to do in our lives. That's where God meets the life of lordship. When we give him lordship over our life, he gives us the seed to transform our life into what he wants And in the meantime, it turns out better than what we could ever hope for on our own. I think people strive for a little success somewhere in life, but God says He'll take the little bit that we've been striving for and multiply it into much more. Many of you are poised for something like that. I just consider in my heart, as I know many of the things that you're praying for as families and couples, and I recognize it's a pivotal moment to infuse in you the kind of faith it takes to go to another level of God's blessing. It takes choosing to somehow personally put the kingdom of God first, which means we hear orders from the king. Scripture tells us there's two kinds of anointed life in the New Testament church: a priestly anointing and a kingly anointing. We're going to explore that a little bit today, but we're going to talk about how to protect liberty by living in a way that we're ready for Jesus' return. Scripture teaches if we are passionate and watching for Jesus' return, we will live a blessed life. The bottom line in the New Testament church is when the enemy comes to challenge us, we need to check our passion for Jesus. Are we watchful? Are we living in a way that He could return right now? I used to catch myself when I was much younger, particularly as a teenager, thinking about Jesus' return. And there were moments in my life I think, I sure hope He doesn't come now. You may not be a teenager, but you might be thinking the same thing. I sure hope He gives me a few minutes here to make something right. Now, that's one way to look at it, but you know, that's the carnal kind of view. God's not wanting us to expect Jesus' return as though we're in trouble all the time. He's wanting us to anticipate His return as though we're engaged in what He wants all the time, that we're preoccupied with His kingdom, that we are thinking about every day, thinking about how can I live in a way that accomplishes something more for God that's going to count forever. He says that will be the purse that has no holes in it. That will be the thing that you take to heaven. That'll be the thing that causes reward to be there when we get there, but also causes life to be more blessed while we're here. God's interested in both. He wants both. The bulk of today's message is from the book of Revelation, with one exception in Luke 12, where Jesus is speaking. But in Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, it says, "This letter is from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth." Who are the kings of the earth? Those in kingly anointing, those who are not priests, those who are in the body of Christ but are not in active full-time ministry, are the kings. Kings and priests. "And the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that has loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood," he's saved us, and there's something that's supposed to happen once we're saved. "He has made us," past tense, he's already done it, "made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, and this will bring him glory and dominion forever and ever." Amen. How's God going to get glory and dominion forever and ever? He's going to get it through His kings and priests. God anticipates, before Jesus' return, things getting better for His children in the earth. He wants you to have a taste. He wants me to have a taste of the divine, the supernatural, the power of God, the plan of God, the miracle-working power of God. I say that because I think it needs to be preached. It needs to be taught more. We need to have that expectation that God isn't coming to meet us in our circumstances just to get us through the day. He wants to give us a supernatural life where we can't wait for the next day. We're excited for what's coming next. We anticipate that He's going to do something significant. I remember as a kid watching Oral Roberts on TV. I was always fascinated. He would say, "Something good is going to happen to you," and everybody'd sing the little song as the program opened. And I remember a little bit later thinking, that's just almost corny, but it's so good. Why? Because it caused us to shift our focus on God is a good God, and He is waiting to do something. He's waiting on us so He can do something good in our life. So if you're in between good things, God's waiting on you to stir up faith for the next good thing. I hear people continually say things like, not around here because we're learning better, but I'm just waiting on God. You can't be. Jesus has already done everything he's going to do. He's waiting on us to take hold of that. He's waiting on us to act on that. He's waiting on us to speak words of faith about that. Now, Jesus is going to come back to take control of the earth. It's called the second coming. But before he does, he's made us kings and priests, and we're supposed to begin learning what it is to take things back for the kingdom of God. Not to take things back for ourselves first, but to have dominion in the earth for the kingdom of God's sake. He created you to be in charge of something in the earth. He didn't create you just to constantly be bombarded by circumstances or cower under the authority of things happening around you or falling prey to predators in the earth. He made you and me to rise up above that, but the only way we can do that is we are connected to a kingdom cause. The kingdom cause causes God's anointing to come into our life because we have made a covenant with Jesus to operate in kingdom authority. So two kinds of anointing. I want to talk about it a little bit. Kings and priests. If you're not given to a life of ministry, making your living doing ministry, you're on the king side. God sees it as two ways to express his heart in the earth, to take dominion, to take the earth back, to take substance back, to take authority back, to bring God's glory back into the earth. He wants you to operate in one of those anointings. What is an anointing? It's something that rubs off from Jesus onto his church. Now, you say, well, what's the greater anointing? Whichever one you're called to, that's your greatest anointing. If you're not called to be in full-time ministry, don't even try it. Why? Because if you're not called, there won't be an anointing to do it. And the calling comes from knowing God has said something in your heart that you'll stick to it. Now, the kingly anointing is, you say, well, is that the default button? No, that is what God has in the earth for us to take back dominion. That means if you are currently working at a low wage for somebody else, that is not God's best for you. He wants you to set your sights on something that will cause authority to increase in your life. God's authority to increase flowing out of you to help other people through you. You might have to go through some education. You might have to go through some paces. You might have to change the way you think about some things to take dominion. You might have to start out simple and small. You might have to start out with your business in a little contained area and then see it grow. But there is an anointing. There is just as great anointing on those who are called to a kingly life. What does that mean? To be a servant of God is to be a king under the Lord Jesus. It means I can expect God's power and authority to flow through my life so that I have an elevated position. Not just to bless me, not just to meet my needs, that doesn't even come first. He will bless us in that way. We're kings under the Lord Jesus. We're kings in the kingdom of God, and it changes things around us in this earth. It's carrying an authority that comes from God. See, Pastor, where does it come from? Number one, your knowledge of the Scripture. Number two, your faithfulness in a personal level to the Lord Jesus and staying connected to Him. Third, who you associate with and the people you hang with, are they also people who see with kingdom eyes? And we'll see this in the Scripture. Jesus went on to bring through the revelation three things that we have to do to live in a state of readiness, three things that we will make sure we're doing in our life that cause that blessing to flow that keeps the devil out. Instead of having to resist him, instead of saying, oh, I've got to pray up the hedge, we just stay in the hedge. We stay in the kingdom lifestyle. We stay in the parameters of what God says is safe territory. I don't like to do battle with an enemy that I know has great power. I'd rather keep him outside my life. I'd rather hear the gunshot in the distance and know he can't come this way. We got a barrier he can't cross. I like that sense of security. And we're in a world where the kingdom of God provides the things that the kingdom of earth cannot provide. And that security is one of them. Now, he says Jesus is coming. He says, behold, he's coming in the clouds. This is just a continuation from where we were in Revelation 1. And every eye will see him, and they also which pierced him. That means the Jews and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. In other words, people aren't going to be real excited when Jesus returns. That tells me if all the people are wailing, somebody's not ready. Somebody's not watching. He's saying there is going to be a real issue in that day. Then Jesus said, I'm the beginning and the end, the Alpha and Omega, which is right now, who was in the past, and who is to come, the Almighty. When he uses the word the Almighty, he is saying, I'm coming back to the earth, and I'm going to hold sway over everything. See, today people say things that they're ignorant. They say things, well, God's just in control of everything. No, but he's going to take back control in that day. He's going to come in, and that's when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. He's going to come back, and he's going to hold sway, and he's going to cause those who lived for him in this life to rule and reign forever in that life. So if you want to rule and reign with Jesus forever, you start now. That's what this dominion is about. It's understanding that Jesus rose from the dead to change things right now, not just when he holds sway over the earth. In that day, people are going to wail because they didn't submit to God and now they have no choice. We ought to not be among the weeping and the wailing. We ought to be the ones that say, I knew this was coming. I have some knowledge of what Jesus wants. I know to bow and worship. I know to give him all of my heart, all of my life. I am not caught off guard. He told me this was coming. Now, you'll not say that so loudly if people around you didn't hear you tell them, be prepared for his coming. She says there'll be weeping and wailing. It's kind of like the gates of hell. The only thing missing is the gnashing of teeth. Well, if Jesus didn't take us out of here quick enough, there'd be that too. And the teeth would be after those that didn't help others get ready. So I find it my responsibility every so often. I've got to somehow inspire you to think about being ready. Readiness means that we choose a kingdom perspective. We become preoccupied with something God wants in our life, and that's what we're working to achieve. Not just a savings account, financial security, money for kids to go to school, or no. That's all a part of life. But the preoccupied part is, in doing all of this, what are we doing for him, and are we putting that first? Is that the foremost goal? For many Christians, that never becomes first. When I read the scripture and I see Jesus talking in Matthew 6, he says, if he's not first, we're not ready. So it's a picture of lordship that I think today is being diminished. Where secularisms come into the church world and we're all kind of our own Lord and we do the Jesus thing. That's not what he describes as being ready. Being ready is we do the Jesus thing by making him be our Lord and working at that. Now, Jesus told us how to be ready when he comes again. And this is in Revelation, three different places. Jesus uses the words, behold, I come quickly. So he personally is imparting a sense of urgency and importance to these three things being a priority. Now, this is Revelation 3:11. Hold fast to what you have in Christ Jesus. Get a hold of what he did for you on the cross and when he rose from the dead, and don't turn loose of that. Don't let any man take your crown. It means continue to hold on, retain the power and authority that you've been given, and become a master of God's power and authority. But he says, don't let any person take your crown. In other words, people are not always going to be working to help you preserve God's first interest in your life. Everybody's going to want a piece of you. Be careful what you give to them. Because Jesus wants to be your first. So he's telling us that in a human world, in all of our relationships on a horizontal plane with people, not everybody is going to be acting in your best interest for God's reward to come to pass in your life. When everybody wants something from you, be careful that you're keeping God's plan for your life first and the kingdom first. That means you say no sometimes. That means that, you know, one way this can happen is if you have unforgiveness toward another person, you'll not see the power and authority of God work in your life. Another is just being distracted by being too busy or putting too much of our own stuff first instead of His thing first. I find it alarming, but my expectation is there are many Christians this morning not in church, and if Jesus came back right now, I don't know if they'd go up or not. That's the kind of seriousness Jesus attaches to being watchful and ready. Now, we could be in church this morning and not be watchful or ready. We could just be sitting here saying, I'm doing my God thing. And that's not from the heart. That's just out of routine, a routine obligation. So when we worship, what are we doing? We are locating our heart and saying, I got to bring this whole heart back in. And no matter what's going on with me, I got to shut it down and I've got to give it to God right now. And when we do that, we're being watchful. We're being vigilant. We're being caring about the outcome of what Jesus wants instead of what we're going to do this afternoon or tomorrow. Now, people, but not just people individually, but the culture. When I read this, I think how culture tries to dissuade us from Jesus being Lord to the level of watchfulness. How being too busy, how being entertained, how being comfortable, how being preoccupied with something else instead of preoccupied with Him. I learned it took a while in my life to become preoccupied with the things of God. It took some time. I had to learn how to develop in God's culture instead of just living in the world's culture. I'm great at lists. I still do them. I would get up in the morning to, you know, for my corporate job, and you know, I had the Franklin planner and about 5 clipboards because it wouldn't all fit in the Franklin planner. You know, each region had a clipboard. And I'd get up every day and I'd be making the lists and moving and going, going, going. That was the corporate culture I was in. Then I recognize as I compare to those days particularly where I became embedded in the culture of my work and my life, God has an embedding in kingdom culture that will only happen if we choose to be preoccupied with what He's doing. So much so that in Luke 12, when I go there, Jesus said, you know, if you're having trouble living for me, sell something, give money to the poor and follow me. Jesus was over and over telling people, sometimes you've got to make a radical change or a shift and a sacrifice in life to put yourself in kingdom culture. Sometimes you've got to cut loose of something or be set free from something. Sometimes you've got to just abandon something that you thought would be a life interest. I know to fulfill the priestly kind of call on my life, I've had to leave a lot of things behind. It isn't that they still don't interest me. It's that my life does not have time to do everything. Anybody else like that? You just don't have time for everything, and you've just got to choose, what is it I'm going to do now? Now, here's what I love about the mercy of God. He didn't say we have to constantly be doing for Him. He said we should be constantly preoccupied with what it is we're to be doing. That gives me grace and mercy. For sometimes it didn't get done today, what I wanted to do for the Lord, but I thought about it all day. Ever had one of those? Yes. So there's mercy and grace in this, but He knows something about the way He made us. If we're preoccupied with it long enough, we'll end up going there with our life. We'll end up doing more for Him. So today is kind of a vision day for you to recast vision in your preoccupation. Take an inventory of what is it that you're preoccupied with. Did it invade your mind or did you give your mind to it? This world is about invading your space, invading your mind to push out the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God can only take first place when you plant the seed of the kingdom in your mind and say, I will be dominated by the plan of God, not the plan of man. So be careful that people don't take you off track. That was number one, the culture. Number two is in Revelation 22:7. He said again, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keeps, that means to guard and attend carefully, the sayings, the logos word, your Bible, the logos word of the prophecy of this book. It literally is saying, blessed is the person who looks at the Bible for divine inspiration. Because that word book is biblion. So it literally means, blessed is the person who looks for themselves into the book of life. They're going to step into more and more a divine life and begin to dominate more in life. See, your prayers to be blessed cannot be answered without a hunger and a thirst for the things of God. Jesus said the blessing comes when we personally will seek it out in the Word. So today what I try to do is plant enough seed to tempt you to look for yourself. When I give you the notes, I'm giving you a shortcut to look in the Word. You just take it home with you and look for yourself, because he says in looking for ourselves, in seeking the kingdom that way, we're going to come into blessing. Another way to be preoccupied is to look for ourselves. Don't just act on the advisement of another. Now, he says that there will be divine inspiration that comes from the Scripture. I believe when we look at God's Word for ourselves, it turns faith on the inside, and we can see ourselves differently. I've said before, but I'll say it again and again and again, I am nowhere the person I was 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. The Word of God getting in my heart continues to change me to be more in line with whatever it is God wants from me. To do that, every time the Word of God comes in me, something comes alive, but something else dies. Something has to be left behind in the pursuit of Jesus' righteousness. Something has to be left behind in the pursuit of God's plan. And what I'm finding is I'm increasing in liberty. I'm not increasing in bondage. Some of the things that preoccupied my life before have become a bondage. I was thinking about that this week and thinking, there's some things taking too much time in my life. I need to cut it down or cut it out. Why? Well, one thing is you get older, you don't have as much energy. And that's one thing. That's a natural thing. But also, if you're preoccupied with the plan of God, you recognize it can't happen unless you make room for it. So a picture of Jesus' lordship is not just others and their impact on our lives to steal God's plan or God's reward or steal dominion, but it's our own evaluation against what we're supposed to be preoccupied with. What caused me this week to not take a step closer to God's plan? What is it that prevented me this week? Maybe I better move that out of the way. Maybe I'm letting that steal some of my ability and potential. So he says that in looking at the Scripture, when we're ignorant, we're going to miss out. But he also talks, there's also a connotation here about opting out of the Word. I used to do a lot of that, honestly. I'd hear the preacher say something, I'll do that when I'm older. I'll do that when God speaks to my heart. I don't think I'll ever want to do that. Yeah, I'm hearing you, but I'm doing. Opting out is proof of not living in watchfulness. Opting out is saying I'm not going to give God's word authority in my life, even though he just planted it in my heart. See, when I say when he reveals it to my heart, he just did with the seed going in. Today, God's revealing to your heart that you can have a life of greater dominion if you give your life more to him. Jesus said to his disciples that if we want to save our life, we'll lose it. And if we're willing to lose it for his sake, we'll save it. That's a picture of living in his dominion. That's a picture of seeing God's power and anointing come into everyday life to make it more extraordinary. You may have a great level of success. We have some very successful, disciplined people in our church. I'm glad of that. But God doesn't build the kingdom on successfulness and discipline. He takes those qualities and anoints them so that the person can produce supernatural, above and beyond whatever we could ask or think. Remember that from the scripture? That's what he wants to do. That's what a covenant with him does when we make him Lord. So what am I wanting to do? I'm wanting to see God multiply you. This is revealing an anointing for multiplication two ways. The kingly side, if you're working a job, you own a business, you're farming a farm, or you're retired sitting on investments, whatever you're doing, God wants to take what you've got right now and cause a multiplication to come because you make a greater connection to his kingdom. Now, that's why Jesus said you might want to sell things and give it to him. He was telling him how to make a kingdom connection. Now, opting out means we're not ready. So in some cases, there's some, I think, supposed to go to Guatemala, wanting to hear the plan first, and if the plan isn't good, opt out. That'd be backward. There's sometimes that we hear something coming up, and we think, well, that's not exactly for me, and we opt out. When it comes to the Word of God, when we opt out, we will miss out. So much so that Jesus said that that's one of the pollutants to being ready. Now, Revelation 22:12 gives us a third one. These are all Jesus. I'm glad Jesus is the one saying it because he's the one coming back again. He's the one that has been given all judgment. Now, and behold, I come quickly, saying it again, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his work, whatever his work shall be. Now, this is what it means. The reward is wages due, of course. He said, there's going to be a payback. And that sounds wonderful. Oh, Jesus is going to reward me for what I did for him. That's one side of the coin. The other side is he's going to punish us for what we didn't do for him. See, most people today would kind of take out or minimize that last part. That tells me God's plan for my life is foreordained, and he expects it to turn out the way he wants it to. That means when I think I have options, I need to step back and ask myself, do I really have an option here? See, sometimes we weigh out our rights as Americans, and we somehow think that the Bible is a list of rights as well, and if it's a legal right, it's a Bible right. And that couldn't be more wrong. So we have legal rights to live anyway and do anything that we want to, and people somehow think that that must then be the plan of God. No, the plan of God for lordship within that is to say, I lay down my rights and I give my life to Jesus. Jesus, what do you say is right for me? That's tough to do. But that's what he's asking us to do because he says, in that is the greater trust of lordship. So on the kingly side, God wants to multiply your resources, multiply whatever it is you're doing, cause your bottom line to increase, cause the blessing of God to grow without sorrow and toil is what it literally means in the Old Testament. Without increasing the toil, he wants to decrease the toil and increase the good. Well, that sounds like a pretty good deal. But see, when we don't give him lordship, he cannot do that. We're just asking him to bless what we're doing for our purpose instead of what we're doing for his purpose. See, right now you should have some kind of mission from God in your life. I've known people who just were called to support ministry and give a lot, and I've watched them through the years. They obeyed. They said, Jesus, this business is here because we want to bless your kingdom, and in the meantime, you're going to take care of us. And boy, did God ever take care of them as they bless the kingdom. Did you know that's kingly anointing? Saying, whatever God you do to multiply my life, this is what I'm doing for your work. That's the majority of Christians. then there's those called to a priestly life that are not supposed to be about that at all. In the priestly life, the example in the Old Testament says the priest would depend upon the altar, the sacrifices brought to the altar by the people. And if he was going to eat well, he had to trust when he threw the flesh hook into the seething pot. There was a big pot, and they threw the sacrifice in there. And let's say it was an oxen, a cattle. It was cattle. A good steer got thrown in there. And he's boiling up. The priest got to throw the flesh hook in, and whatever came out is what he got to eat. What a gamble. What was it really? It was saying, God, if you bless the people out there enough that they bring a substantial sacrifice, this flesh hook that had three prongs on it, like a giant three-pronged fish hook, is going to pull out something good. And the priest that knew what to do knew how to throw it in there just right, but it all depended on what was in the flesh pot. That's how they lived. Unless you're called to live like that, you don't want to live a life based on God blessing everybody else. Did you know that's how your pastor's blessed? That's what it means, literally. So if there's not much in the flesh pot, I mean, I'd be excited if there's a steer in there. I'm going to hook something and pull it out. And I'm going to watch how it fell into the seething pot. I'm going to say, okay, where is the really good meaty? You know, they wanted the shoulder. I know I would have gone for a little something more substantial. Well, those priests had some strength about them. Do you know that? Because they were all the time having to work to pull out what the people threw in the pot. They were having to work to pull it out, so they had a way to eat. So you see, pastor does have a motive for you being blessed. It's God's plan. God's plan for this church depends on you being blessed. It's God's plan. Because you being blessed decides what goes into the seething pot and the hook going in, pulling stuff out. And that's the Old Testament. But it was a picture of how God created the kingly anointing to sustain the work of God in the earth and those that had given their lives to it. See, when people try to mix it up, they mess it up. See, today so many pastors are having to work to make a living or to make a big enough living the way they want to live. That's all messed up. Why? Because I think the kings have to be able to rise up. I think the people have to be able to rise up in God's dominion. See, it's all connected. So when I pray the blessing, don't think I don't mean it. There are a lot of things I believe God's called us to do as a church. I don't think of the flesh pot as personal, but really that's how we do ministry, is whatever we have to work with, that's what we work with, that's what we do around here. So we want to see that increase. That's how we're a part of increase. That's how we connect to God's agenda. Now, behold, I come quickly, and my reward, the wages, whether payment or punishment is the word used, is with me. Jesus is bringing this to give every man according as his work. And that means whatever preoccupies our thoughts and actions. That's where I come up with preoccupation. What are you preoccupied with to do for the Lord Jesus? See, I get preoccupied about things we do around here for him. I find myself thinking about it all the time. I was thinking about the car show the other day and thinking, how can we make it better? And I got an email from Josh saying, how about a bounce house? Rihanna and I are talking about a bounce house, and it's going to cost $300. What do you think? I said, get the bounce house. Why? Makes it better. Kids have something more to do than try to get in somebody's car that doesn't want them in the car, okay? Which went on a little bit last year. Kids were going over there by themselves, and you'd see the owner of the car kind of strolling over. Kids, do you like my car? Isn't it cool? No, you can't get in, but you can touch it. Is anything on your hands? You know? So what do we do? Give them a place to be. What will it do? It helps families be able to stay and fellowship and kids to have a good time. You say, well, why is that significant? The car show's attached to the kingdom of God, attached to the Riggleman's who came out of their heart to do that for the kingdom of God, so we have a form of outreach. And it's a big deal. So you should be saying, okay, God, what's my connection to that? And become somehow preoccupied with it. And if the car show, well, if that's just not my thing, Pastor, I'm not into cars, well, then be into Guatemala. Or be into the food pantry, or be into something. Be preoccupied with something where you keep thinking, now, is it this week that this is happening? And you have to pull up on your phone, look, is it this week or next week that I have that meeting? If we're not living that way, we're not in a state of readiness. But if we are living that way, we are coming into greater dominion. See, I want to show you why Jesus tied the two together. If we'll focus on having dominion for him, we'll be ready for him. Why? He's coming to rule and reign. So if we line up with ruling and reigning, we're going to be ready. Do you understand that? He's telling us how to prepare in a good way, in a right way, a way that should motivate us, a way that should excite us. Now, whatever preoccupies our thoughts and actions. So kingdom preoccupation demonstrates a readiness. Now, this is what I want to say in closing. The blessing belongs to them who live ready. If you want to, on your own time, look at all of Luke 12, what Jesus was talking about, because I've condensed about 20 verses into, I think I had three or four here, four. Blessed are those servants, he said, whom the Lord, when he comes, shall find watching. That means giving strict attention to. It's not a passive watching. I can watch in my rearview mirror when I'm going down the highway for other vehicles. I can see flashes in the rearview mirror, passively watching and think it might be a police car and look at the odometer and look back in the rearview mirror and say, no, it was just a glint off the road. I can be passive or active in my watching to whatever degree I want to, but my consciousness is set up to be watchful in a right way if I listen to that consciousness. You have a mind that is a consciousness, but you have one deeper that is your spirit consciousness. The part of you that hears something like this and says, I got to be in on this. I've got to think about this. I've got to decide. Why? God set you up to believe the scriptures of faith that lean toward ruling and reigning. When Jesus rose from the dead and came to live in your heart, he released the seed of dominion into your life. He made you always think about there could be something better or something more for my family that enables me to do something more for the Lord. That's what it looks like. So if you feel like that, that's not selfish ambition. That's the kingdom of God at work. If the offering plate passes and you think, I wish I could do more, that's the kingdom of God at work. When you hear of a missions trip, you think, well, I've never been. I wonder what it would be like. That's the kingdom of God at work. When we're raising funds for an outreach, when we're taking meals out of the church, you say, I wonder what it would be like to take a meal to somebody who has cancer. Find out. We'll make it easy for you to find out. Love is easy to share. You just need another person. That's all it amounts to. Very easy. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he comes, shall find watching. Not giving passive attention to, but focused, strict attention. That has a bit of conviction in it for everybody. Strict? Strict? I don't like the word strict. I wanted to dummy it down, so I studied the Greek very carefully. I said, does it really just mean a focus? No, it meant a strict attention. A strict attention would be, I'm making homemade caramels on the stove, and there's a stage called softball stage. And you got to get a little bit of your caramel liquid out. It's still really hot, and dribble it down into some cold water and see if it makes a little. That's softball stage. It takes close attention, because if you miss it by 30 seconds, you have rock instead of caramel. If you do it too soon, you have ice cream sauce instead of caramels. Strict attention means God has a plan that we have to be paying attention to in the various stages of our life, or we'll get off from the product that he wants and we'll have something else. And if he wants caramels, he doesn't want to have to go buy ice cream for the caramel sauce we just made. He has something in mind. And that's a silly everyday example, but it's the best one I could come up with that says to watch. Why? That's a vigilance. Same thing making caramel corn. You better get it right or you're going to be chewing rocks in your mouth. Or you're going to be pulling it apart. Let's just make popcorn balls out of it and smash it all together. See, there's a stage that is right. There is a product that's right. Moment by moment in your life, there is something God has in mind that is a produce for the kingdom that will bless you. That's called dominion. Somehow God helps our life to accomplish both because we're preoccupied with the master. And when we're preoccupied with him, he says things tend to work out right. be the kind of thing, I'm cooking the caramels and the phone rings and I think I've got to take the call. It's an important call, but I take it. And I say, now I am cooking caramels and we are almost there. So I'm putting you on speaker and you can talk to me all you want to, but I am not messing this up. I've been in the kitchen 2 hours. And you put the little phone down and you're watchful. You're hearing one thing, but you're watchful on another. That's the way our life is to be. You're going to hear all the demands of this world and all the expectation and everything the kids want to do and everything everybody wants from you, and you're going to have to be watchful. But what is it that God's producing in me? Even when all God made us so marvelously, we can accomplish a lot of things all at once. So this is not impossible. This isn't only for the preacher. This is for everybody. He wants us to have a preoccupied life, preoccupied with him. Now, and this know. And Jesus is talking about his return. If the good man or the security guard of the house had known what hour the thief was going to come, in other words, there's an enemy, he would have watched. He's using this in conjunction to coming again. But Jesus said, there is a thief out there that's trying to keep you from being ready for Jesus' return. Now, and he had not permitted the thief into the house to be rummaged through. He would not have. If he knew when the thief was coming, now Jesus is saying he's not the thief. But understand that like a homeowner or a security guard over a home, if he knew that the thief was coming, he wouldn't let the thief in to steal. If we know Jesus is coming, we won't let the thief in to steal from us what Jesus is coming to find. He wants watchfulness. So what does the enemy want to steal from us most in our life? Watchfulness. Not commodities, not stuff, not your money. He wants to get your watchfulness. Then what he'll do? He'll break in your house and get everything he wants. See, when we have lost something, it's because we have lost our watchfulness, is what Jesus is saying. When we have seen the thief come in and rummage through our house or steal, kill, or destroy, or pillage something, we need to step back and say, now, wait a minute, there's a reason this happened, and here's how we open the door for the devil. People get all bent out of shape what that means. It means we've lost our watchfulness on Jesus. Why? He protects us. He warns us. He shows us things to come. That's who he is. His spirit shows us things to come. Now, ready yourselves. In other words, every person's got to do it for themselves. This isn't the preacher's job. I'm so glad. I have enough on my plate. I don't need to get everybody else ready. Ready yourselves, for the Son of Man comes at an hour when you think not. Ready yourselves. Now, I think that casual Christianity is not what Jesus had in mind. I hear people use the phrase spirit contemporary. I don't think that's what Jesus had in mind, that we try to bring his spirit into contemporary life. He wants us to bring our contemporary life into the Holy Spirit and turn it into God's life. Turn it into a life of dominion. Turn it into a life of authority. Turn it into a life that has the power of God in it. Where does the authority come from? It comes from using Jesus' name. Where does the power come? It comes at the command of that name by faith. How do we get there? We're connected to God's purpose. See, if something were to come against your body and you were given a doctor's report that you had 6 months to live, you'd have something to fall back on if God's assignment in your life was not complete, but you were trying to complete it. Say, oh, no, no, I'm going nowhere. I've not finished my race because this is what God put in my heart and I'm preoccupied with it and I will live and not die because I'm going to do that for the Lord. And we don't invent something at the doctor's report. We're to be preoccupied with it before we hear. What do we do? No, I'm in a hedge of protection. I'm living my life is first for the kingdom. I'm seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. And he says, all of these things shall follow after me. And one of those things that's going to follow after me is healing and health. So I'm not going to go because I'm not ready. I'm not going to accept that as the final report. That's what the doctor said, but I'm going to get a hold of God's report. I'm not going to tell the doctor he's wrong. I'm just going to tell Jesus, Jesus, you're right. See? Well, let's stand to our feet. We're going to stop right there because I do want to offer an open altar today. Last week we talked about liberty. This week we're talking about dominion and authority and power. It's one thing to be free. It's another thing to rule and reign. I try to put myself in place of people that have been freed of slavery and what that felt like. The closest thing I can come to is when I left corporate culture and came out of all of that busyness and preoccupation and the clipboards and the computers and all the everything that was bombarding me constantly to sort out, and then suddenly I had none of that. I did not know what to do with myself. I'd go out in the woods and chop wood for an hour or two and think, I need to be doing something else. I'd go in and eat food and think, oh, I'd eat so fast, well, I'm used to a five-minute lunch break. So I was eating in 5 minutes. This can't look good. Doesn't sound good. It's not very polite. Doesn't dignify Lucinda cooking me a meal. This is not coming out of a bag. This is coming off of a plate. I didn't know what to do with myself. I want to challenge you that perhaps in the life of God, you won't exactly know what to do with yourself. So what you do is you find somebody else who does, and get a connection with them and begin doing for yourself what they're doing for God. Begin to enter into what somebody else is doing. Become a part of a team or a group. Get connected to do something. And watch what God does in your putting Him first even in that. He'll bring the new identity of ruling and reigning in. He'll bring what is a new liberty. When liberty first comes, you think, what in the world? What do I do with this? Quiet time? 5 minutes is enough. I don't know what to do with quiet time. A devotion? Oh, I read one every day. It takes me 3 minutes. What more does God want? I want you to increase in ruling and reigning. I want you to understand there's an anointing for you today. Many of you are repositioning. I heard that in the altar as we were praying for things, thinking, Lord God, you're really moving people around a lot right now, giving them a greater opportunity, or people are looking for a greater opportunity. You are the exception to the rest of the rule, because either you're God's king or God's priest. You're not your own man. You're not the government's man. You're not the boss's man or woman. You are God's. I want you to become a little preoccupied with that. Say, I need to think about things differently. I'm going to pray a prayer, and we're going to dismiss, but if you're here today and you want prayer, you can always come. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, this would be your day to meet Him, because He wants to radically turn everything around. No devil will have dominion over you. No habit or pattern or addiction will have dominion over you. You'll give Jesus dominion, and He'll give you liberty from all of the things that are wrong and cause you to learn to have dominion in Jesus' name in this life. Things won't control you. You'll control things. Your faith will, you see. So I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I thank You for our family gathered together here today. Father, a family anointed to do great things in this life, greater than we know, greater than we're doing now. No matter what level of success is in the house, You've got something more that will take less out of people, but to produce more, so that the more can be attached to Your kingdom. Father, we've revealed today a kingdom principle, and I know that You are just waiting for us, desiring us to act by faith on what You said. So, Father, ask in Jesus' name that Your Holy Spirit make visitation on every person, every family, to reveal what it is to align with Your purpose and plan in a new way, to break free from the doldrums of everyday life and have a purpose beyond all of that, that seems to be a shining light before us to navigate by. Lord Jesus, in this, You're going to bring people out of trouble. You're going to drive strife out of households. You're going to cause abundance to be restored. You're going to cause new sources of income to be revealed. You're going to cause hope to replace hopelessness. You're going to cause power to be restored where the power's been out and the lights have been off. Father, You're going to cause things to shift and change, because we're shifting our allegiance back into Your kingdom fully. You cause all the kingdom benefits to flow into our lives completely. So, Heavenly Father, I thank You for that anointing on this house, whether king or priest. Father, those of us here today know we're called according to Your purpose, and we're stepping into good, acceptable, or perfect will of God. Father, move us into what's next. Help us supernaturally to have faith in Jesus to do that, and not in our own work ethic or which jobs are available or what opportunities lay before us or what our skill level is. But Father, You put us in a place where we'll grow and learn skills, educate ourselves. Some need to go back to school and finish school. Father, whatever it is that lines us up increasingly with your will, your kingdom purpose in our life, move us in that direction. Have mercy on us and move us in that direction. Help us, Father God, to be more satisfied. And Father, I perceive in my spirit just a sense of dissatisfaction, what Scripture calls wanting and emptiness. Father, I call that out and I drive it out in Jesus' name. That our satisfaction come from knowing that you love us and that we love you. Now, Heavenly Father, I thank you that today, as people go and we celebrate through the weekend liberty, we remember we have responsibility and authority. And when we take that, an anointing comes and we keep our liberty. We keep our freedom. We even increase in it. And life gets better. We don't begin to shut down, but rather we see increase. Now, Father, I heard you say this. I command multiplication by the Spirit of God. For every seed sown in the heart of every believer to take root and grow, to be well watered, and that there be a multiplication of harvest expedient unto this congregation, that we might fulfill and do all the plan and purpose of God in this place, in this church, fulfill our calling and not be held back. Father, I thank you that your priests and kings will rise up in greater anointing and greater blessing and greater joy. And even though some have heard words of sorrow or words that are not a good report, we say we know the word of the Lord today is for blessing and increase because we take responsibility. We take hold of our authority in Jesus' name, and you say you increase our liberty because we're connected to your kingdom. Father, I thank you for a church that's obedient to walk with you and blessed like no other. Father, that the blessing of God exceeds in this house anybody's expectation. I speak it, I thank you for it, and I proclaim it to be so in Jesus' name. Amen.
We pray that today you were challenged to move closer to God and encouraged with the depth of His love for you. If you would like to know more or hear additional messages, please call us at 217-395-2231. You can also write to us at Living Word Church, P.O. Box 158, Roberts, Illinois, 60962, or visit our website at gotolwc.org. And as always, we would love to have you join us on Sundays at 10 a.m. And now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May He make His face to shine upon you and give you peace.